Okay, I want to welcome you to the second part of ICS 214, VCN course 262. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, we spent quite a bit of time on the maps discussion. We'll quickly go past that this time around. But just as a review, since we really didn't get into the 214 much at all. Okay, why the course? Obviously to explain the purpose of using the ICS 214 form, explaining why accurate documentation on an incident is necessary. That's kind of obvious, I think, and how to use the standardized form. Moving on to slide number 3, we saw this again. We'll take a quick look at a couple of versions of the ICS 214 other than the ZR ICS form. And the information required to start filling out a form, and in particular, we as individuals, what's required to be filled in versus if we were section heads or unit heads with staff reporting to us. And obviously, where to submit the form, I think for our organization it's pretty obvious. We submit it to our incident commander, Charlie, or his alternate. Whoops. Okay, we're now at slide 4. We spent an awful lot of time 2 weeks ago talking about minimal acceptable performance standards. I would refer you to the public.mvraces.org website for those listening on tape, dated 262A on February the 6th. Ah, got past that slide fast. We're now on slide 5 for the purpose of the recording. Okay, ICS 214 log. How we submit our ICS 214s will reflect whether we're specialists / professionals or CV/SUVs. And CV is convergent volunteer, the proper term, and the other is spontaneous.
Untrained
volunteers. Good. Okay. We're talking about your direct report expects us to turn in an ICS 214 each day. Now, most of our incidents that we practice only last a day. But if we had something that went beyond that, we'll see that whether we're logging information into a stenopad, which we'll talk about in a minute, or the 214, it's one form, one ICS 214 per day. Probably the most important thing on slide number 5 is that the ICS 214 will become part of the official incident document. It's not ours to keep. And thus we need a way to document what goes on during an exercise or an incident, because we will definitely forget, particularly if it gets hectic, which it will be. Now, slide 6, 7, and 8 are images of a stenopad. And you can take a look there. Obviously, you want to put your name on it. On slide number 9, shows an example of a stenopad with a spiral on the left side. Highly recommended you do not use that. as we'll explain in a minute, it makes it easier to take notes if the spiral is at the top. On slide number 10, Wayne suggests that we choose a green tint rather than white, just because it's easier if out in the bright sun. And again, focusing in on a spiral at the top. Now on slide 11, the emphasis on this slide is that when we make entries in the steno pad, we're supposed to enter a day's worth of information, starting always with the date, the time, and the day of your first entry, and then, as we'll see, we draw a line at the end of a given day and then start out again with the date, the time, and the day. And later on you'll see that the format for the date, time, and day is 4-position year, 2-position month, 2-position day, and time. And just to keep our heads straight during a busy exercise or incident, to actually put the day, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to actually write the day next to the date. Okay, we'll come back to that. And as he said, that when beginning a new day in your steno pad, draw a line across the page. We'll see evidence of that in a minute. Now, we got into a discussion the last time around about whether we write on the back of the piece of paper or not. And as you can see I've got a steno pad for those who are here in the class. But you can see on slide number 12 that we start with, obviously, with the spiral at the top, and then flip that page over and just keep on writing where the former bottom of the first page becomes the top of the second page with the spiral at the bottom. And again, why this discussion about how to use a steno pad is just so it's easier to document what's going on in chronological order and not get lost on which page you're on. And on slide 13, continuing, if you flipped it over so that the spiral was at the bottom, well then you just keep on writing. A picture's worth a thousand words. Take a look at slides 12 and 13 for those listening to the tape. Now, one of the things, we're now on slide 14 and we see an example of Wayne having entered information into his steno pad, and there's a lot of information here, and I thought it'd be informative for us to discuss, taking a look at this slide, what kinds of things. It'll be summarized later in the other slides, but just as a way of reinforcement as we go through this, what sorts of things are logged in on his steno pad in this example? I'll start. For example, he says command C/F. Now he's using a lot of abbreviations. They're very cryptic, but it's sort of shorthand, but if we have to be writing in a steno pad, we're probably going to have to be cryptic also, rather than long-winded. But it looks like CF. I
call from.
Hmm.
Call from.
Call from, and the name of who called, with his badge number, availability for a PIO2 assignment in the RVC. Not quite sure what that is. RV center maybe, And then he jots down important thing that I require at least a 4-hour ETA window. So we're beginning to get a feel for the kinds of entries. And then sometime later, he indicates that he got a contact from the Gillerman via telegraph, I guess, and that in fact he's documenting that he's been assigned PIO2, and apparently there's a code, and it looks like the O231 perhaps is his mobilization code. And where is he going? Incident Command Post, Mariposa Fairgrounds. He's expected to be there within 5 hours. It indicates who he's supposed to report to, and that it's going to be an overnight assignment, and that arrangements have been made at Mariposa Headquarters Station to apparently stay overnight. Now, it would appear, as we go through these slides, and I'll get ahead of myself a bit here, but one of the handouts for this class was what is called the ZRICS command system. It's the form we looked at before that shows the SAL levels.
It's in our tonight's handout too.
It's in tonight's handouts. It's also on the web, indicating slide 42, reference to slide 42. You might also jot down as a reference now to slide 28 and even now. But it looks like that he's jotting down things that he's beginning to do. For example, he's kicking off his vehicle in safety inspection, and a departure mileage from his location. Apparently fueled up, and he indicates where and what the miles were at that time, his arrival time, what time he checked in to Gotez, his direct report, that he signed in on the ICS 211 in-out form. Some time later, he not only checked in to the incident, but because he's part of planning, he indicates the time that he checked in to the planning section. And then there's start time for finance. Not quite sure why those entries. Then he departed.
Would that relate to his pay for this incident?
That good point, yes. So he had to check into planning because he obviously is a public information officer. He's probably going to sit in on the planning session for the what would be part of the planning briefing that he's probably showing up for. What safety briefing have we talked about that perhaps planning is going to give?
FIAP.
Exactly, the field incident action plan. So I presume that's part of why he's showing up where he is. And you're right, start time for finance, for billable time or reimbursements. He departs at the following time from the incident command post, and he arrives at the staging location, and he indicates his arrival mileage. And then notice there's a line. Again, we're talking about slide 14.